Lesson number 13, Christ's Second Coming. As John wrote the book of Revelation, with its horrors and its joys, with its imprecations, with its angels singing, and realized that the world was one day going to be burned up, with no space found anymore in the universe, and then a new heavens and a new earth. He ends his whole book with this statement: "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly." The revelator was really Jesus Christ. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave to him, sent his angel to give to his servant John to write and send to the churches. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And at the end of it all, John records his words, "Surely I come quickly." And John's response is, "Amen. May it be so." Even so, in spite of everything that is going to happen, even so, come, Lord Jesus Christ. Even so, even though the wicked will be destroyed, what should we do? The introduction of this lesson says, compassion for unbelievers. The whole world is dead. John 3:17. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Why not? John 3:18. Because the world is condemned already. He didn't need to condemn it. But he sent Jesus that whosoever in this condemned world might believe should not enter, but should enter. Not death, but everlasting life. And Jesus Christ comes with the greatest of compassion to seek and save the lost. Part number one. Everyone in the world will witness the second coming of Christ. That is, those who are alive. And the special group that will be raised. There will be no secret but a public. There will be no silent but with a great noise, with the voice of the archangel. Second coming of Christ may take hours. He may wait for the planet to revolve 2 or 3 times. I don't know. But every eye is going to see him. Into that group will be called those who pierced him. That's the promise he made to Annas and Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin. There will be a mighty earthquake. There will be an upheaval of nature. There will be the sea and the waves roaring. Heaven will appear to be moving away. The earth's surface will be broken up as the guardian angels welcome their sleeping saints that they have taken care of for years to life. It's going to be an exciting time. A time in which the righteous and the dead will watch Christ come. The dead who have been raised in the partial resurrection. Priests, the soldier with the spear, members of the Sanhedrin, they will all be there. Then to be struck dead by the brightness of his coming. Part number three, that is his first act. After they have seen Jesus Christ, the wicked who have been resurrected will join the wicked dead in death. The wicked who have been living will be destroyed by the brightness of His coming after momentarily calling upon the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of Him who sits on the throne. The voice of the archangel, which is Jesus Christ Himself, will call the sleeping saints to life. He has promised this through His ministry, through His prophets. It's the voice of Jesus that raises the dead. The living saints are changed in a moment, translated. Mortal puts on immortality, corruptible puts on incorruption. They have died broken, mutilated. They now come to life, the miracle of the Creator, both the living and the dead, ready to face Him. What a meeting in the air that's going to be. How Jesus Christ, the hero of His saints through the ages, is going to be adored. I can almost imagine the jubilation and the joy of all the redeemed, wanting to touch Him. It'll be a controlled, joyous, singing, happy mob, with Jesus in the center. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard. My imagination cannot fathom the logistics of this. With billions of people together in the air, brought to life, joining their friends, thinking only of Jesus and the reunion, and the man of all men who made all this possible. And to think, those on this planet Earth, dead by their own choice, by their own refusal of accepting what God offered to them. Isn't it interesting that the introduction of this lesson showed compassion to unbelievers? We look out and see our families and friends. We pray for them. We cry for them. We plead with them. What can we do if they won't accept? Still love them. Show compassion to them. And then what happens to this planet? Every living thing has been destroyed by the brightness of His coming. And then Satan and his angels will be arrested. They will be bound with chains of darkness, Jude and Peter, and placed on this ruined planet. Their workmanship, their design, there to live in icy darkness, no light for 1,000 years. Meanwhile, the righteous, having met the Lord in the air, will be taken to live and reign with Christ in heaven for 1,000 years. This is a vacation He gives them, but with certain responsibilities. They will then judge angels. Part number 4. Prophetic signs that Christ's coming is near. How many signs are there that Christ is coming near? I had an evangelistic meeting in 1935, which I had 20 signs of our Lord's return. Sounded a good number. Those signs are still valid, but they have intensified. There were famines. We've had much more extended famines than they ever had before. Earthquakes,
much more numerous. Wars. Rumors of wars. Nation rising against nation. We could list and list and list. The gospel is going into all the world. Look at the speed with which it's going. Look at the means by satellite with which it can be extended. We saw in an earlier lesson that the end would come suddenly, unexpectedly, rapidly. We are right there now. Between the time we believed and the time we studied this lesson, what giant strides have we seen the churches moving towards unity, movements toward Sunday laws. The prophecies are being fulfilled before our eyes. Let us accept them and believe them. Part number 5. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you ready for the Holy Spirit to seal you? Have you settled into the truth, both intellectually and spiritually? Has the divine seal fixed your character? Is your mediator ready to say, "He that is holy, let him be holy still"? We are right at that time. Are we meeting together in fellowship, not forsaking ourselves? Are we praying for each other? Are we studying the Word of God? Are we building into our minds the truths that will detect Satan's deceptions? Part number 6. Ellen White spoke of heaven. I seem to be there where all is peace. No stormy conflicts. A kingdom of righteousness, where all the holy and the pure and the blessed are congregated. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Their voices are in perfect harmony. They do no wrong to each other. My friends, let's resolve to prepare for heaven by making a little heaven like this.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries have been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.